We're here.
Hello.
Howdy ho.
I'm Forrest.
I'm Forrest.
He's still Forrest.
I am still Forrest. This time it's two R's instead of one.
Hasn't it always been that way?
Double.
You don't know me.
Double the fun.
You don't know me.
He was only there for when your birth. You were literally day one.
He was a whiny ass baby. Let me tell. All he did was cry.
That's changed.
No, it is not.
Hi, Josh.
Hi.
We are back again for another amazing episode of Gamer DA.
I am amazing. Thank you.
It's true.
Amazingly bad.
Amazingly terrible.
God, he sucks.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
We have actually a little bit to talk about with this whole blizzard front coming in. It sounds like we're talking about the weather, but it's actually Blizzard Activision.
It's kind of weather. It's not good.
No.
What's been happening, that's for sure.
A storm's coming.
Kind of a storm a-brewing, if you will.
Let me word it like the... All right. What I'm going to say instead is...
Lightning rods?
No. That's a story for another time. Tell me about... Damn, I don't know. The Ode to Blitzchung.
Blitzchung Bop. No, Blitzchung...
Blitzchung Bop.
Is a Hearthstone player, and I guess he received a little bit of backlash. He took a stance on the China-Hong Kong incident, and it didn't go very well for him because Blizzard decided they were going to ban him for a year at first and take away his prize money of $10,000, which he would have won at the Hearthstone tournament. Since
That's a
then,
nice chunk of change.
Yeah.
$10,000 for playing a video game.
No joke.
Yeah.
Since then, they've walked it back a bit, and I believe they're giving him his purse back, and...
They took his money and his purse? As I said that line, the look you gave me was like, you knew it was coming.
Yeah, I knew.
You saw the gears in my head turning, you saw the smoke, and he was like, oh, fuck, he's going to say it.
They're going to do, I guess they're rolling back the 1 year and going to just do 6 months. But still, I mean, all that for his own political reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just more of a, what the hell moment.
Well, I mean, what do they really ban him from? Oh, no, he can't play a game.
Like, well,
he can't play a game publicly. Oh, no.
But I guess if you are a Hearthstone player, and, you know, he's apparently fairly well if he's going to tournaments for it.
Oh, yeah, and winning.
And winning.
And winning.
Exactly.
Just like Charlie Sheen.
That would be like someone saying, well, tomorrow, where you work at, you can't go back to make money. You know, that place that you have economic growth in, you're no longer allowed to do that for a year because you said something that was offensive to, well, not even offensive. You said something and expressed your own political view or your own.
Right. And not only that, I mean, but he expressed it on his own personal social media.
Well, there was two other streamers or two other people that were involved in it, and it was right after he had won the tournament that it was kind of like his speech after he won.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
That's where he really messed up.
So I should have shut my mouth.
No, I mean, it's still, you know.
Well, I didn't know all the facts until.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're still wading through it. I mean, it's not like it's, you know, it's that big of a deal for us. But it was still one of those deals of, you know. He expressed his concerns or expressed what he believes, and it could have just ended there. Could have just ended there, and that would have been that. And I don't understand why they had to take the hard stance on it, and everyone said that they were taking the hard stance on it because Tencent, who owns a part of Blizzard Activision Blizzard, is a Chinese company. So there's always that fear of, you know, backlash from that hard stance too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people were really pissed. They were outraged that Blizzard went through all this to the point where they actually have people were deleting Blizzard accounts.
Yeah, wasn't there like a mass purging of Blizzard, like from the player perspective? players were just leaving in droves from every Blizzard project.
Yes. And they had a small walkout at work, which people gather around the orc that's in front of in front of the Blizzard building.
There's an orc out front.
There's an orc out front.
No wonder they're successful.
I want to be where the orcs are. And apparently they've got a saying on their front walkway or at an entrance in Blizzard that says, think globally and every voice matters. And someone took a line sheets of paper and taped it over it, you know, in protest to them doing all this. So, I mean, it's had its ramifications against the company in a lot of different ways. So
this is a situation where I do think they were kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't.
And I agree with you.
Because no choice they made would have been the right choice, because there is no right choice in this case.
And I think people forget that companies, as much as a company wants to have like a heart to it, it sometimes can't. There are, you know, there are things that they have to kind of take care of. And I am in no way saying that it was good for Blizzard to do this. In fact, I think it shouldn't have been something that they just should have been, people are people, and let it go. But yeah, it's definitely one of those tricky, you know, slippery slope scenarios.
Yeah, there's really no way how to go about it. You don't know what to do with it until you try something and then it fails.
Yeah. And there was supposed to be an Overwatch event because it's coming to Nintendo Switch. And they were going to have an event at the store, at a Nintendo store, and it got canceled because people were saying that they were going to protest it.
Are they going to push putting the game out?
I don't know. They may. I didn't read anything else on the follow-up to that, but I would hope not. But who knows? That's always the worst part about, you know, a big company like this, you know, for fear of pushback from the public. You have people deleting accounts over stuff like this. It's kind of a, you know.
Yeah, that's a major deal. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how we as the public speak to companies.
Right.
That's, you know, because you can get on your soapbox and yell all day. No one's going to listen. But once you start messing with the money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm surprised we haven't heard anything from the shareholders of Blizzard.
Well, and I'm sure it's to come eventually.
Probably, yeah.
I would love to be a fly on that wall. I bet that office looks like a, you know, from a Monty Python and the Meaning of Life, the hostile takeover, when the two buildings come up over like a pirate ships and they're launching filing cabinets like cannons and they're using fan blades as swords and they're like it's a hostile takeover. I bet the boardroom, and just in my imagination, it's total chaos.
I bet it's cold in there.
Probably.
Air conditioners are running.
Thanks.
Anyway.
Thanks for that.
But, you know, it's also kind of weird, too, that of all the companies, Blizzard get backlash for anything, because Blizzard's been kind of on a good track. I mean,
we've never heard, like, anything bad about Blizzard at all.
There's at been... Least,
I'm sure... Well, I mean, every company has their share of scandals.
Right.
I'm sure I mean, there's nothing front page about them.
Right.
Until now. I mean,
until now.
But if you think about it, like you were saying, you know, you talk with your money. These are people deleting accounts that, you know, because with a Blizzard account, you buy your games through Blizzard. It's not like Steam where, you know, you've got, you know, where if you take a stance against one company, you could just say, well, I'm not downloading that game anymore. With Blizzard, if you're deleting your account, you're also dumping games that you've spent money on, more than likely. I mean, all the games that they have are...
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't play Blizzard games.
Right. And I, you know, I've sunk quite a bit of time into, like, I've played a little bit of Overwatch, but like Diablo 3 or, you know, stuff like that. And I've touched World of Warcraft a little bit, but nothing to the extent that these people have gave their lives to play, you know. And when you have people that have dedicated years and years playing World of Warcraft, and then they say, sorry, we're ditching an account, that's
right.
A pretty big movement.
That's a big statement.
Yeah.
I'm done with you. I'm sick of your shit.
Get out of my house.
It's not your house. But I see what you're saying. I mean, that you're absolutely right. That is a big deal.
Right. So, you know, I guess just kind of waiting to see where everything kind of falls in. It's definitely going to be an odd going forward event. I mean, can Blizzard bounce back from something like this?
Well, I think most companies, as long as they if they play it smart and they don't start tweeting up a storm,
they don't need that stupid CEO making fucking stupid
A good example would be with Spider-Man. When Sony and Marvel and pretty much everybody just kept their mouth shut. And that was the absolute smartest thing to do, in my opinion. Because there's a lot of money to be made on Sony, you know, because all the money that Spider-Man's made recently is because of the joint venture. So, you know, Sony had, I mean, I know Sony's been making movies and then they made The Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Best movies ever.
To keep the license. Because I think their license was almost up. So they had to make a movie, at least for the first one. And since it did decently well, they're like, let's go ahead and make a second one. Which it didn't necessarily bomb.
But it was just critically hated.
It didn't, you know, it didn't wow everybody. But
Spider-Man 3 all over again.
But then you have Marvel taking it over and interweaving him into their universe and doing a pretty damn good job of it.
The hype from that, I can still remember. I mean, was insane.
I've got my qualms about it, and but that's for another day. But all in all, I'm pleased with it. And then I don't know the full details, but somewhere along the line, Sony had the right at any moment to pull the plug, and I'm sure it was over money. I would guarantee it was over money.
There's no other reason they would.
But I'm curious. I know we're not talking games. I kind of got off track, but.
There's a Spider-Man game. It's fine.
I forgot my point. I lost it.
You were mentioning, though, you know, that both sides kept their mouth shut about the whole scenario. The one part of the scenario that made me think more and more about it was, what if that was the game plan all along, was to get everybody buzzing about it?
Right.
Let's throw this out in the ether and see what drags back in. Let's see what people really have to say about this. If people are just like, we don't really care. Either way, we don't care. Then, you know, Sony would know, all right, time for us to take it back over.
Let's do our own thing.
But when people were like, no, you guys have had like 5 movies you fucked up. Let's give this shit to Marvel and let them iron it out. You know, that was kind of I kind of think that they were just using it for a way. They wanted people to weigh in their opinion on it, and they wanted to see, hey, this is what should be.
Right.
And
it was oddly close to the release of Far From Home, too.
Right.
Could it have been a publicity stunt to get people to see the movie?
Well, I really believe it was Marvel wanting a bigger cut. Because
I think it was Sony that wanted the bigger cut.
Maybe. I can't remember now.
I think it was Marvel, because Marvel was putting more on the line than Sony was at the time.
Sony owned the license, and they're like, yeah, give us buckets of money, and you can give us barrels of money, and you can put him in whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Marvel wanted 50% of the box office is what they wanted. Since they were Sony, putting in 50% of the money
Sony
to make
would
it.
Get, I think Sony would get the front end money, and Marvel would get the money later in the back end, like during the DVD sales and stuff like that.
The merchandising.
Spaceballs the flamethrower.
The kids love this one.
The kids will love it. May the Schwartz be with you.
But, adorable.
But then there was also Kevin Feige was going to be also listed as production or producer on it. I don't think he's actually listed in Far From Home. I haven't seen Far From Home yet to verify that, so take that with a grain of salt. Right. But, you know, that was also
another thing.
I think
Kevin Feige with a grain of salt.
That dude, you can talk some shit on Kevin Feige all you want, but that dude has done the comic book movies, you know.
No, I do agree. I think he is the reason, or at least a good chunk of the reason why the MCU is so successful.
Well, right. He's also a fan. Mm-hmm. He's loved comics as a kid. And I think he's been when it comes to office meetings, I guarantee some executive, some group of executives was like, oh, we need this and we need that. And he's like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's why you stick to doing what you do and you let me do me.
We need to make Nicolas Cage Superman and we need to make him fight a giant spider at the end.
Okay. Calm it down.
Tim Burton.
I couldn't get it out fast enough.
But you think, too, like, you know, Kevin Feige, since his, I guess,
retirement.
No, since Kevin Feige took the throne,
basically, yeah,
basically,
all hail Feige.
Since he is in charge of all this, just look, think back on all the Marvel movies. Even the worst Marvel movie is still enjoyable. Iron Man was good.
Part one was pretty awesome.
I'm just giving you shit. I love her.
I know part two, Iron Man 2 gets a lot of hate.
Mm-hmm.
And
Whiplash!
also, I think you don't actually see any Iron Man suit for most of the movie. Like, it's almost all Robert Downey Jr.
Well, same with Iron Man 3, but that was a slightly different reason.
That was
with Mandarin. He was just getting sick of being in the damn suit.
I mean, I can't blame him.
Yeah, but that, think of how many movies he's done since then.
Right. Three was the one I disliked the most out of the trilogy of Iron Man movies.
It butchers the comics more than any other MCU movie I think has.
Right.
Well, they tried
to take the back. Thor Ragnarok did.
They tried to roll it back. There's an MCU short with the Mandarin in jail, the guy who played the Mandarin.
Oh, yeah.
And then someone breaks in and tries to kill him, and mm-hmm. they're like, the Mandarin wants his name back. I think it was on the Winter Soldier DVD.
Probably.
I could be wrong, but it's on one of the Marvel DVD movies, and it's a bonus feature, and it's a quick, like, 15-minute short. So they just trying to be like, yeah, we kind of butchered the Mandarin. We thought it was going to be cool. Mostly didn't like it. There's a real Mandarin out there.
It was definitely a gamble, because Iron Man has exactly one recognizable villain, and that is the fucking Mandarin. Like, we know Crimson Dynamo because he has a hilariously awesome design. and then you have Titanium Man, and you have Whiplash, and just Ironmonger. All these Iron Man clones.
Right.
But his one noticeable villain is a Chinese guy with alien rings.
Right.
But as I was saying, though, like, if you look at the worst Marvel movie since Kevin Feige's been on the scene, because those were Paramount movies. Those Iron Man movies were actually Paramount movies.
And The Incredible Hulk was Universal.
Right.
Right.
Since Marvel has taken over, has taken over and has been in charge of all these movies, even the worst movie is still enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I was not really the biggest Miss Marvel fan.
Captain Marvel.
But it was still enjoyable. Like, I still could sit through that and watch that movie. I could sit here and watch it right now.
Right.
And still have some enjoyment out of it.
That is, like, the one movie I do kind of refuse to watch. But it's basically for the same reason you refuse to buy Borderlands 3. It's just personal disdain for everybody involved.
Yeah. There's one thing in there that keeps you out of that. And I understand that. And I completely sympathize with that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the same thing. You're right, as a consumer. You're like, I'm not going to contribute to that because of whatever my reason is, you know. And honestly, I mean, I know we have this podcast, but you don't have to explain yourself. And I know you're not. You're not sitting here going, oh, but Josh, let me tell you why. you're not doing that. But I'm, you know, that's your right as a consumer. You can be like, no, I'm going to sit this one out. And when people are like, well, tell me why, and you're like, I don't have to.
Right. Yeah.
Have a good day. You know, I mean, just go about your day, enjoy your...
I mean, I don't plan on explaining myself. I don't like people involved. Deal with it.
I mean, that's fine. I'm just saying.
But...
I feel personally attacked right now.
You should. I'm going to tell you why now. It's because Brie Larson was in Scott Pilgrim, and then she went to Kong, and now she's in Marvel, and I think that's wrong.
Whatever. That's
I know. No, that's complete bullshit reasoning.
Right. The thing that kind of... cements, though, the Marvel Comics for me, though, like, that really has stapled all these movies together for me, is that we finally have a franchise of movies that have continuity. They're not the best continuity.
Thank you.
It's not like we're sitting here watching, you know, step by step everything in motion, and, you know, it's always accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, there is a giant overlying arc that sews all these movies together. And I think that's pretty cool. From a, you know, a film buff standpoint, I love it.
Right. Well, that's the kind of stuff we wanted since we were kids.
Right.
Where every movie, okay, so we had Star Wars as kids.
Right.
You know, it was still a young franchise when we were coming up watching it.
Yeah, but Star Wars didn't have a Han Solo movie and a Luke Skywalker movie, and then they combined. Right,
but I mean, there was a trilogy, there was three mm-hmm. movies, and everyone knew what had happened in the first one, what had happened in the second, what had happened in the third, and then later on when Lucas did the prequel, we all knew what happened later. We just wanted to we just wanted to see what happened before.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, everything was in cement. It was a rule. It was yes. It wasn't like he decided that he was going to take his prequel trilogy and be like, you know what? I don't want Darth Vader to be Anakin. I think it'd have been cool. Uh-huh. He didn't just change things around. And we see that all the time, in not necessarily in every movie or whatever, but
it does happen though, for sure.
Right, because they all it seems like they want to hand the reins off to other people and go, well, let's see what you can do with it. And he's like, well, I really like that Hulk, but we're gonna mm-hmm. pretend that doesn't really happen.
Yeah, we're gonna pretend Abomination doesn't exist, even though there was a giant fist fight in Manhattan, Harlem. Sorry.
Well, and see, that's a good example. Because
he does mention that he broke Harlem, but they make no mention of anything else in the series right. about it.
No, I get it. And they wanted to kind of stay away from it because that movie didn't do too good.
Mm-hmm.
But he did mention, last time I was there, I kind of broke Harlem. Just like you said. So we now know that continuity...
It's still there.
Right, it's yeah. there. No one deleted it and said, we're going to ignore that. I know they've kind of...
They brushed it off to the side, but...
I don't have any examples, but it seems like in my mind, over the stretch of 10 years and that many movies...
Ed Norton.
There has been a couple instances where they kind of have swept stuff under the rug. A good example would be Lady Sif from Thor. She's in Thor 2.
Yeah, she didn't make it to Ragnarok.
No, she didn't make it to... Now, that was because she was filming...
That's right. I remember being kind of pissed about that,
She was filming a TV show.
Ah.
And... I can't remember the name of the show, but she's covered in tattoos, and she's like a terrorist that lost her memory, and the tattoos lead the FBI to solve crimes.
Blinded, it's Magnum P.I.
No.
It's Hawaii 50.
Is it? I think it's Blindside is what it's called. So there was a filming. She couldn't film because she was doing her own show. So now Taika Waititi did the best thing ever, is he made a whole freaking joke about it. Because when Thor comes back in Ragnarok mm-hmm. and he sees Loki / Odin watching the play, and then it shows Odin or Loki on the floor, and he's like, Lady Sif, go get help. And she's like, okay. And then she runs off the screen, and it's like, that's it. We're not going to mention her ever again. So that was his way of tying that knot.
That was pretty funny.
I love it. I love that part. I go, okay. So they're not going to give any explanation to where she is or why. Tycho's just going to... kind of run with it.
I actually remember theorizing when the first Thor came out that she was going to become Valkyrie, but then they made Valkyrie a different person. I'm like, damn.
Right.
Not, I do love what they did with Valkyrie. I think she's one of the better new Marvel characters. But
wait for it, because they're going to change Valkyrie in the next one.
What the hell are they doing this time?
We'll talk about it off air, but yeah.
Does she get a mech suit? Mm-mm. She needs a mech suit.
She no. needs a mech suit.
Get this bitch a cannon.
There's been new news that's been covering what's going to happen with Valkyrie.
No, boy.
So, I mean, I understand a company like Marvel wanting to cover all their bases
mm-hmm.
and try to make it as open and diverse for everybody.
Inclusive.
So, yeah, whatever they do with that character or anything like that, you know, I understand it makes sense for them to go in that route. The only thing that bothers me is how in the hell are they going to make Lady Thor? How in the hell are they going to make Natalie Portman?
Well, the precedence
righteous
is there.
Enough to...
Oh, I see your point. Well, the comics already covered that.
Mjolnir is not... I just don't get it. Especially, she's going to be Thor, female Thor.
Right.
So...
It's... I don't know.
It's just a strange brew.
I'm
dangerously close to getting into political... Or political
PG,
correctness
yeah.
more than anything. But... They're doing the same thing with James Bond, so...
Well, that's not what I'm getting into. I'm literally worried about the story. I don't care anything about changing characters from men to women or make them gay or make them straight.
That was never my worry.
Right, that's not my worry. My worry is fitting it into the lore and making it believable or make sense. In the comics, spoiler, I'm finally starting to get my head on my shoulders about spoilers.
Han Solo dies.
In the comics, she's dying of cancer.
Who is?
Natalie Portman.
Padme already died.
Padme's already dead. We're just going to go through every one of her roles.
It's the chick from The Professional because she smoked since she was 12.
Yep.
I can't even think of her name now. What's her? Foster. Jane Foster. I was like, what's her? What's going on? Foster's dying of breast cancer. And somewhere through that situation, that makes her, because she's facing her mortality. Sorry.
Leave it in.
Do not edit this at all. Nerd mode engaged. I just feel that if she's going to be subject to cancer, maybe facing her mortality is going to make her be able to see that everything in life is precious, and she'll be able to make sacrifices, including that of herself, so she'll be able to become Lady Thor and be able to wield Mjolnir and harness his power. Plus, in the comic, it said that because of her abilities, she actually has the ability to control Mjolnir in flight during attacks, unlike Thor, because reasons.
Spleen, there's not enough beer in the world. I'm sorry. Spleen.
Hello. Pull my finger.
She's a tiger.
Rawr. I love Mystery Men.
Yeah, someone had to.
We got to cover that in our movie podcast one day.
We will.
We should get back to
love Mystery Men.
We should remember this is a game podcast.
Yeah, we should probably get back to games.
But back to the gaming world.
I had my rant.
Right. PlayStation. It's mine.
So the Incredible Hulk was completely... Okay, I'm done.
Thank God.
I know. I take forever with those.
We're getting a kind of inside information. Wired got information about the PlayStation 5 from PlayStation.
Prove it.
They're saying that it is the PS5. That's what they're going with.
Pixar didn't happen.
Pixar didn't happen.
They are sticking to their clever name scheme with adding a number behind the word.
I love it. I'm fine with it. I think it's genius.
Yeah.
At least it's consistent.
Right. Continuity.
At least I know which model it is.
You go from Xbox to Xbox 360 to Xbox One. Now they're backtracking to, oh, we're going to make a new thing because we kind of ran out of numbers.
This one should have been the 720, honestly.
No. That would have just made more confusing because they're like, it only does 720p, which is the beginning of the generation.
What's 360 times 360? We'll do that one, whatever number that is.
Times 360? Damn, I'm not that. I can barely add. I can barely add single numbers. Now we're... that's rough.
What, does an Xbox 1,258 roll off your tongue?
So AMD, of course, is making the chipsets for both consoles. They did last generation as well, and they're going to use the new Ryzen architecture for the third generation Ryzens. And they've, of course, announced that it will be compatible with PS4 games and VR hardware, which they did say originally that the PlayStation VR that we currently have will work on the next generation. So it was kind of a gimme that it was going to be backwards compatible.
Well, don't worry, because they'll still eventually introduce new VR tech. I'm sure they will.
They did kind of touch on something as far as the new hard drives and stuff like that is concerned. I listened to them talk about technical specifications for the new hard drive. Now, right now, they were discussing the ability to read on a hard drive. And, of course, we know games are getting really huge in size.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they mentioned for the PS5 is on PS4... to make it work, since you know you have a disc that reads off of that uses a needle to read off of a disc for a hard drive, you know it's a spinning plate.
None of us can talk today. What the hell?
I must be in the air. Winters are coming. Anyway,
we did talk about blizzards.
It's true. It spins, and of course, it can only read so quickly off of a hard drive, off of a conventional hard drive. But with solid states coming, you know, it can access what's on there a lot, almost instantly and at some points. So the way that they make games be able to load as quickly as they do now on the old conventional hard drives is they make multiple forms of, like, okay, let's say like assets in a video game that have to be reused over and over again. They put it on there multiple times. So when it's reading this part, like, you know, reading from this part of the hard drive, it can still, like, oh, I'll just go to this part here because there's already stored. So there's like multiple versions of a game sometimes stored on one copy of the game. And with solid state technology, they're saying that it'll eliminate having multiple assets for games.
So it would free up space.
It will free up space. So not only will it free up space, but it's they've figured out a way to make it load quicker too.
Because that's all I fucking want.
Yes, yeah. Thank God.
And that's why that tech demo they were showing Spider-Man, Sony showed off Spider-Man earlier this year, and they were showing load times, and they were showing it just going from one end of the city to the next between starting the game up, running the game, and going from one end of the city to the next, and they were showing that there was some stutter in the PS4 version of Spider-Man. But the PS5 version, there was no stutter. The load time was almost instantly. Like, it was just seamless, and boom, 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 boom. It worked. And
I miss cartridges.
Me too. But it's that makes a whole lot of sense whenever you're talking about the specifications of why games are getting so big, why games are so much
larger.
Well,
I didn't know that, because I really find it interesting learning things like that, because it that kind of stuff, you know, I work with my hands at work. I work on forklifts. I work on trucks. I work on, you know. So I'm always curious on how things work, how they function. And knowing that, it makes a, you know, because I think Master Chief Collection, the disc is 60 gigs. And then when I bought it, I picked it up launch day or whatever when it came out on disc. And then when you took it home and hooked up to the internet, you had to download another 60 gigs.
Right. And now they just released another 60 gigs.
So that's a lot of freaking space.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a 500 gig Xbox One, you are SOL if you want anything else.
Yeah, it's half gone. I've got a 4 terabyte external. I got it really cheap. It's a Seagate, I think. I bought it at Walmart when the Xbox One came out. Anyway, I've still got, let's see, there's over 200 games on my hard drive, and I still have 650 gigs left.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, most of those are Xbox 360 games that are 1 or 2 gigs apiece, so.
Right. I mean, there is a lot of 360 games, but most games you download are going to be in the 40 to 50 gig range.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're getting a AAA title or an A title or something like that, they're going to be big. They're all big.
I guess it's a good thing that Elite Dangerous is just such an empty, useless game. That way you don't have to put that much memory in it.
That, number one, quit ranting on my shit. Number two, I haven't played that in like 6 months.
So it probably has another 60 gig update?
No, the updates are only about a gig or so. That game's not very big because it's played on their servers. You play on the Frontier servers.
Mm, it's kind of like Ark.
Right. So the game doesn't have to be that big. Or let's say what's on your system doesn't have to be that large, because basically it's a gateway. The program you have installed on your system just allows you to communicate with their servers. So I have no idea how big their servers have to be, because that's a 1-to-1 scale of the fucking Milky Way galaxy.
Right.
That's a big-ass fucking game. I read somewhere years ago that there's 400 billion stars.
I got him started.
You got me started in that game. It would take every man, woman, and child. It takes 7 billion people playing every day for 39 years straight to visit every star in that game. That's how big that fucking game is. So you can imagine there's no way you're downloading all that. So you play on their servers. So it's only 5-10 gigs because it's just what it needs to communicate with the server. But some other games, they're 50, 60, easy.
So that's your Elite Dangerous Minute.
Yeah. Hey, I've not talked about it in quite a while. I've been proud of myself.
You got blue balls.
Haven't you guys seen me notice when I'm sweating, chewing on my fingernails? I'm like, hur, hur. And you guys are like, I really like this game. It's really cool. And I'm going, really dangerous. I got to talk about it. Don't say nothing.
they were really pushing the fact that that new PS5 is going to be, it's going to do ray tracing.
There's a new PS5 coming out?
Yep.
I haven't been paying attention for like an hour.
The fifth of the PlayStation.
You're still thinking about Jane Foster and her breast cancer.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, ray tracing is so exciting to me.
The bad thing to a lot of people is you're going to see TVs. A lot of people still are rocking 1080p TVs. And this thing's going to be pushing graphics for 8K.
Right.
8K video.
I still have a fucking CT TV, okay?
Right.
Well, I mean, you have to for a lot of your older consoles.
Yeah. A CRT, shit. Yeah.
CRT, my bad.
Right. But that was one of the big things was whenever they were coming out, when they were talking about the launch of the PS5, was everyone was afraid that they were going to do software ray tracing. It was going to be on the software end of it, and it wasn't going to be a hardware. But AMD... or not AMD, but Sony themselves have actually said, no, it's going to have ray tracing acceleration in the GPU. So
let's backstep. The hell is ray tracing?
Ray tracing makes things look really, really pretty. Makes water look really, 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 really realistic. It helps with lighting and effects and stuff like that. It's really that next step. It's really...
After this, I'll show you some Minecraft videos where they play with ray tracing.
Because if you want to show off the graphics, you go to Minecraft.
I mean, I know it's silly, but...
It makes it look good.
I bet it does.
I mean, it's amazing.
I just remember back when Halo 3 came out, O'Connor, he's doing a demo of the game, and they're on one of the multiplayer maps, and he's shooting the water, and we're getting so excited because it's hyper-realistic.
I remember playing... Grand Theft Auto 5 on the 360 and thinking it looked great.
And then you saw the trailer for the Xbox One and you about crapped yourself.
I about lost it. It looks so damn good. Oh my God, it looks amazing.
That game does look fucking good.
They also announced that they're still going to be a physical media. They're going to use 100 gig optical discs and it will have 4K Blu-ray playback this time. And, sounds like they're pretty much hashing out everything now, getting ahead of the curve. So
they want to get all their tech specs out before Xbox does, right? I think.
Well, the real competition's Atari at the moment,
right? Whatever. The VCS shit. Watch out, Sony. I guess my big worry is with competition, and you know they're already knee deep in these consoles. Whenever you do show your hand too early, though, you do leave your competition able to go.
We're going to do it better.
We're going bigger. We're going better.
Back to the drawing board. We have to fix something real quick before we release.
Back to reality.
And it's easy, Eminem.
No. No.
That's a ban.
Bad, Forrest. Bad.
So,
are you hexing me with a marker?
Yeah.
It's dry erase. You'll be fine.
I'll wash off.
But you do leave yourself open to that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is set in stone on either of these consoles right now. We don't know exactly. We do know that they're running, or that the PlayStation is going to be running an 8-core AMD chipset. We do know that it's going to be running solid state. We do know that it's backwards compatible. We do know that it's running optical.
Okay, how backwards compatible?
PS4.
I heard that. Okay.
That's where...
Because I want to be able to play PS3 games, because some of those didn't get ported to the PS4.
Keep waiting.
Without PS.
Right. Yeah. Wait as long as you shit in one hand and wish in the other.
PlayStation or Sony made the comment a while back whenever they were talking about backwards compatibility. Somebody made the comment like, are you guys looking at backwards compatibility? Xbox is doing that. And basically they said, people ask for it, but they don't really play it. That was Sony's response to that whole scenario.
They're wrong.
And if they look and actually check out the numbers... There is one hell of a call for all those old games to be able to still be playable. It doesn't matter if the people are playing them or not. People still want to be able to access their stuff.
Right. Five years from now, I might decide that, you know what? I want to boot up Ace Combat from my PS1. I really got a hankering for them graphics, man. You know, or...
Well, every time you see it, you really want to play Colony Wars.
Oh, my God.
Where's that on the PlayStation Network?
Exactly.
Come over, we'll play sometime.
Let's do it. I've got part two here, I think. Colony Wars Vengeance.
Yeah. But that I guess, you know, it's a trade-off whenever you play on a console. When on PC, PC's kind of like, the doors are open, you can still play old games, you can still play new. And in a lot of ways, you can emulate on a PC.
That's why I've been playing PC a lot lately.
And I'm not, when I say emulate, I don't mean just illegally, but you can actually find your old copies of like the old DOS games and stuff like that. You can run an old DOS emulator in the background and sit there and play legitimate copies of real games that you own.
I want to play Darkseid.
Right. Or,
Bet you do.
You don't even know.
TIE Fighter.
I don't know.
Dude, TIE Fighter. I would love to play TIE Fighter.
Yeah.
See Grand Admiral Thrawn? Oh, yes.
So, with the PlayStation 5, I guess it's one of those wait-and-see deals. Sony doesn't ever, you know, they've never ever been one to fluff things up and make it sound better than it really is.
Mm-hmm.
The PS3 is still, you know, is considered their worst console, and even by the stretch of, we still got fucking Metal Gear 4 with that. That was an amazing game. I still look at that and think...
We got Twisted Metal 2012.
Yeah.
We got Demon Souls. Like
Twisted Metal 2012.
Then 2012, they came out with Twisted Metal, sequel to Black.
We discussed this on one of the other podcasts we did. He was talking about it.
Yeah, I was just as amazed then. I guess I brain dumped that.
Yeah,
because
I'll show you after this because there is some shit to see in that game.
Because you were saying it was kind of stylistic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a very Sin City.
Okay.
Like the cutscenes are all live action, but they're done in the same style as Sin City and Watchmen.
I'm just amazed thinking about in 2012 there being a game with live action cutscenes.
You would be amazed how good it looks.
That's like 1990, 2000,
that's,
2000.
That's Resident Evil 1.
Yeah.
Joseph, don't go! Best game, 20 out of 10.
Best game, 10 out of 10. Best game, best game.
So, you know, we're seeing the boost in all these games and stuff like that, but when's it going to come to the time where it doesn't matter anymore?
Never.
Well, there are, of course, you know, beautiful games and stuff like that are amazing. I mean, if you feel like you're immersed into it, it feels like it's a fun thing to sit and play. You know, it's kind of like Forza. Forza Motorsport looks amazing. It looks the best now that it ever has.
Yeah.
And I still keep looking at it and I think, is this game more fun than the last one? It looks better, but is it more fun than the last one?
That's why I don't play wrestling games anymore, because after No Mercy, none of them are any good.
Right.
Fight me on that. Wrestle me. I have a ring in my backyard. Come see it.
I believe you do.
Please visit me. I'm lonely.
Anything. Come on. I'll do my Ultimate Warrior impersonation.
I'll do my Macho Man impersonation. Run into a branch.
Just stop.
Oh, my God. I can't believe
it. Too soon.
I need to tell Dad about this one so he can watch it.
Have you guys actually seen, we're talking about the Nintendo 64 here. Have you seen that there's companies that make retro controllers and stuff for that?
Mm-mm.
Do they fix the damn thing?
Oh, yeah.
They're good looking. Yes.
They're really good looking.
That's what I need. Oh, you were telling us about that, actually.
Retro Fighters, I think was the name of it. I'll look it up here real quick.
I've seen modded 64s where people have painted them custom and put LEDs in them and light them up and stuff. I think that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I wouldn't want to play it. That would go like in a display case because I wouldn't want people to touch it.
The only 64 controller I can find is the Atomic Purple ones. I can't find an old gray one around my house anywhere, and I don't know where they're at.
Because everybody smashed them or threw them away.
I have gray and blue. Our cousin JD has the gold one for the Majora's Mask.
Really?
Yeah, he has that.
I remember it now that you're talking about it.
I played Doom 64 on that controller, and I loved it.
Word.
Donkey Kong had a yellow controller with it, and there was a red one that I think you could just buy.
Yep.
Red?
it's retrofighters.com is the website, and it's called the Brawler 64. Comes in different colors and stuff like that, and it's set up a lot like a, it's kind of got the Xbox layout a little bit to it. I mean, you kind of get the hint, the two legs and everything like that, but it's got the joystick and the crosspad kind of in the same layout that the Xbox controller has, and it's got your shoulder buttons and
tell me
start
it's the
button.
Duke, though.
Huh?
Tell me it's the Duke. It, like,
I wished I could.
Make it even worse than it already was.
Right. And they do other controllers as well. There was...
I'm sure there's people with big old flesh mitts that would love to have the Duke.
Steve bought the one for the Xbox One. He bought the Duke.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, not Hyperkin. Maybe it was Hyperkin. One of those companies re-released the Duke, and it's like $70 at GameStop. And when you start it up, it actually has the original Xbox startup on the screen. There's a little screen on it, and you get to see the little...
That is sweet.
Yeah, there's a little startup for it.
I really want to play Halo now.
So, but they also make...
I love me some Halo.
They made a Sega Saturn controller for this, too.
Okay.
For the 64?
No.
Okay.
It's a Genesis.
I gotcha.
Yeah, a Genesis/Saturn controller is what it is. But I think these Retro Fighter controllers look really cool.
How much are they?
$30.
That's not bad.
No, not at all. I didn't think so.
That's actually really good. You can still buy a 360 controller for $60.
Right.
And that's a, you know, decade and a half year old console.
Yeah.
They released an NES one, and it's only got the A and B button on it, and it's got two joysticks, though. It looks kind of weird, I guess, just for the fact that, you know, I'm used to so many buttons on a controller. But at the same time, I thought it was kind of, it's kind of a neat novelty. But yeah, I kind of dig old console controllers and stuff like that, and to see that they've actually got people still making newer ones.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty great. So I always look for all
especially
that stuff.
Especially for the 64. I'm surprised no one made a aftermarket controller for the 64 that looked nothing like the 64 controller.
Mm-hmm. That's what this is.
Oh.
I'm about to say, yeah, that's kind of what he's been talking about.
Yeah, that's what this is.
I guess I've not been paying attention.
Right. Yeah, the Retro Fighter is what it is. Here, that's it right there. Yeah, it looks like a...
Okay, I'll eat crow.
And they also have different colors that it comes in, too. Like, there's the transparent ones. I've seen an orange one. They make a purple one. Well, the purple one looks more pinkish than anything, but...
That's pretty kick-ass. I could definitely play some Ocarina of Time with that.
Oh, yeah, me too. I looked at that and I thought, man, that could make me actually start playing my 64 again.
Yep, I'd go back to it. So. Because at least then it would be... I'm so trained for modern dual joystick controllers that if I went back and tried to play... I mean, do you remember GoldenEye on the 64? It was insane to control, especially when you were learning.
Yeah, and they tried to rectify that by having the trigger be like an aiming reticle. Like, it pops up on the screen, makes you stand still. That didn't help.
No, it made it worse.
You know what game really does suffer, though, that I played recently is Star Fox. That game is like a 10 out of 10, in my opinion. A perfect video game. But man, it is fucking impossible nowadays to control.
Star Fox 64, you mean?
Yes.
Well, I bet with that controller right there, it would be so easy to pick up.
I bet it would.
Yeah, they've got one it's a Sega Genesis / Sega Saturn controller. And it's kind of got the same layout. It's got the six face buttons on it. It's got a good cross pad. It looks like a nice cross pad on it. And then it's got a joystick right underneath it. Because the Saturn actually had a controller that they released for Nights Into Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
And it had an analog stick for it. And it was always one of those, I had Nights, but I never ever picked up the controller, and I really wished I had. Mm-hmm. It probably would have served that game pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Probably worth a chunk of change now, too.
It goes for a couple bucks on eBay. Hmm. It's not the cheapest, but at least with this, with Retro Fighters... I guess that's the thing, too. Like, when we start going to look for old stuff, like, you are at the mercy of somebody else's sales tactics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish I could find 101 yard sales that just sold all this stuff, because you know moms right. are just cleaning out closets and going, Johnny went to college. Here's all his stuff. I don't need it in here anymore. Or,
right.
you know, the grandkids never come by anymore, and they've got all this old stuff. But now it's Wii and, you know, Xbox 360 and PS3 stuff that you're right. finding at yard sales. So.
Yeah, I bought a Wii the other day at a one of the consignment shops here in town, and bought it for $50. And I'm like, that's a pretty good deal. The Wii that I have doesn't really work right. Sometimes it's got its issues. I'll try this, see if it's any better. Yeah, I bought it for one reason, and that's so I could play GameCube games on it. I did not know that they made a version of the Wii without the ability to play GameCube games.
So yeah. now you're stuck with a Wii.
I'm stuck with a $50. The cord works better. So I took the cord from it. It's a $50 cord.
All right. Well,
was it one of the mini Wiis, or was it the second generation full-body Wii?
I don't know. It's black.
That's why. The black ones didn't. The white ones did. You could always tell because you could flip up the lid for the GameCube exactly, ports, yeah. and the second generation of them did not.
That is absolutely bullshit.
Well, I get it, because it did have two lenses in it. Mm-hmm. It had one for the Wii and one for the GameCube. Technically, the GameCube, or the Wii, is actually a beefed-up GameCube. There's not that big of a difference, technologically speaking, between a GameCube and a Wii. That's why they put the GameCube games, or the GameCube playability, in the Wii.
Some of the graphics on the Wii are pretty abysmal, too.
Right.
Especially ports of, you know, bigger, more successful games on other platforms.
Right. But. Well, you have a underpowered console compared to, you know, the Xbox 360 and PS3.
Right. Sound familiar, Switch?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the Switch does pretty good for what it is.
The Switch is definitely a step
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right. I really like the Switch. I'm pleased with it. I really am.
But I kind of see... I guess I understand why Nintendo kind of makes their own path. They always kind of did. Nintendo's always been that company that's mm-hmm. always cut their own cloth. They've always had, you know... They've always had the keys to success because... They kind of made the keys to success for the video game market.
Exactly, yeah.
Would we have a video game market without Nintendo?
Probably not. Honestly, no.
We left Atari in charge of it, and they shit the bed on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Nintendo come along and clean that whole fiasco up. Luckily.
Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be here right now.
Well, we probably wouldn't.
I don't know. That's a big if. Because, I mean, I'm sure someone would have came in. If not Nintendo.
Well, because there was a video game crash at the time, too, before Mario showed up. Like, nobody was playing them anymore. Arcades were going out of business because nobody was interested anymore.
Right.
And then Nintendo comes along. Bam, Mario and Zelda, okay. Play them.
All right.
But you didn't even have to ask. They're just telling you to play. Here, play these.
Okay.
You don't even have to buy it. They just give it to you. They're like, play it.
Okay. I can do this all day. All right.
We're good.
All out. Let's do it. Ow, that was my ankle.
So, I kind of wonder, too, you know, you get to thinking back on all the video games and stuff like that we do have. And, you know, Nintendo was always that focal point that everyone looks at and says, this is the way the game changed. And we also, you know, we don't really give Atari any credit when we think about video games. At least my generation doesn't really.
Mm-hmm.
Atari was kind of that thing that was just...
Eh. It was more novelty.
It was a novelty, yeah.
Yeah, it was more novelty than...
Like, hey, did you know they made a Halloween game? Yeah, let's play it. It's like two floors and you just have to avoid Michael Myers. Man, that deep gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, it reminds me of JonTron. Oh. You could call this game Bird vs. Camel, mm-hmm. and no one would argue with you. I think it was for Star Wars Empire Strikes
it
Back.
It was, yeah.
It's just kind of an odd thing. And here we look at, you know, we look at the greatest and the newest on Xbox One and PS4 and PC, and the graphics and stuff like that are so amazing, but will they get as much love as Super Mario Brothers?
I understand.
I don't really think there ever will be another Super Mario Brothers. Like, the closest I think we've ever come is Halo. Because Mario Bros. Really kind of was a worldwide phenomenon. And it's really hard to match that level of hype.
Well, I mean, look at Zelda. Zelda mm-hmm. is still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
With no signs of slowing down. and it's just as old as Mario.
Well, technically, I'm going to shut up now.
You get my point.
I gotcha.
Sony doesn't really... I guess, you know, when you think of the old PlayStation games, you think of Crash Bandicoot, Tomb
Spyro
Raider,
the Dragon.
Spyro the Dragon, which are all IPs that they don't even own. Like, mm-hmm. their IPs owned by other companies and stuff
okay.
like that.
Wasn't
okay.
that one of the big things about the PS1, though, is that it had a lot more third-party support than 64?
Oh, yeah. They had way more. I mean, mm-hmm. well, it was easier to develop for, too. A disc costs nothing, where a Nintendo 64 cartridge, you know... To the moon, Alice.
Yeah, but yeah. That no loading thing, I like that.
Yeah, a lot of people did, but that was the thing, though. Like, you know, where a cartridge has a certain meg count that you can fit. And back then, you could fit 700 megs on a disc.
Mm-hmm.
650 to 700, but 700 was the tipping point for a disc. That was more than... That was almost double what any cartridge would have ever held. Well, probably mm-hmm. quadruple what any cartridge would have held at the time.
Well, and now even nowadays they're using, you know, 100 gigabyte Blu-ray discs. How many of them really use 100 gigabytes?
Quite a few, more than you'd think, though.
Really?
Yeah, with 4K resolution and the rendering and
graphics.
Stuff. Yeah,
it's all visual information.
Too bad they all look the fucking same. Oh.
Can't believe you're hating on games right now. Can't believe it.
I know. I don't deserve to be on a game-loving podcast.
Well, and that's kind of the point with, like, you also have the issue of Nintendo Switch games, too. You know, I can't remember how many gigs those little cards are. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was going to get to the point where they're going to have to start charging more for bigger capacity games. I don't think they've done that yet, but I fear that that's going to be the next step.
Probably.
When are games going to raise in price?
I mean, because the way it looks, I mean, it's eventually going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe not, though, because I think that's one of the big reasons. I know because it brings in a lot of money, but that's why they push for microtransactions, and that's why they push for limited edition copies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give us $120 and we'll also throw in this custom helmet or this gun or this model of something or this bust of the character.
And hell, even like later down the road, Mortal Kombat's been doing it a lot where, you know, you have Mortal Kombat X, but then a year later, bam, Mortal Kombat XL, all the DLC. Here, take it.
Right.
Well, that's kind of what's fed them here lately, too, is we'll release a game with 20 characters on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, hey... Wouldn't it be cool if you had some more fighters to fight those fighters with? We'll sell them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to thinking about it, and you're like, well, I've sunk $60 into this game, and I've spent another $20 on DLC, so the game already did cost me $80. They got their money.
Yep. Right.
So
they found a way.
Yeah.
That's why I like Killer Instinct's business model when it came out was, okay, yeah, it's a free-to-play game, but you only get one fighter and one free fighter per month, and that fighter rotates.
Right, and it rotates around. Mm-hmm.
And then Season 2 comes out, and we're like, okay, we'll give you a couple more fighters, and you can buy the disc version that'll include another character, but you still have to buy every other character.
Right. Well, and we've also talked about this, too. It seems that everything is turning into, quote-unquote, a service. And that's how how they get their money. Uh-huh. I mean, look at Game Pass. I'm really enjoying Game Pass because they keep throwing on games, you know, one every 3 months. Well, they actually do more than that, but every 3 months there's a major title, something that we've been kind of waiting for.
Yeah, Advent Rising, where are you?
That's never going to happen.
Predator Concrete Jungle.
I doubt that's ever going to happen either.
I would kill for Predator Concrete
Jungle. That'd be awesome. Concrete Jungle was amazing. So to get back to my point before I was so rudely interrupted by my brother, you a-hole.
I know.
That's fine.
Forrest, you're the Dunstan checks in of movies.
Am I the George Costanza or am I the monkey?
Valid question.
Well played, Clark.
But anyway, it seems like it's all going to be...
But yeah, dude, Predator Concrete Jungle.
Oh my God. It's going to turn into a service where it won't matter what the game costs anymore because you're paying for the service.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how much they put into it, It won't matter.
Acting like they're doing us a damn service. We're paying for a product that they're making, but they're treating us like we're going to give this to you.
Like, well, I mean, it seems nowadays that almost everything we own, we don't technically even really own.
Well, even Apple devices, there was always that little caveat in their agreements. It was like, you're buying the right to use this. You don't technically own anything. So, I mean, that's been going on for quite some time, even on a device like that.
There's a South Park episode about that.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean,
all hail our corporate overlords.
It was called a human scent iPad. You can imagine how that goes.
Yeah. I need to watch this episode. Yeah, my interest has been piqued.
I think you'd enjoy it too.
So, you guys have anything else you want to discuss in this one?
No, not really. I do want to give a shout out though before we wrap up.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, I'm just saying Predator Concrete.
My buddy Andy from the Army, he was one of my first roommates, and he's been one of my... He's not been a friend as long as you have, or my brother. He's not a friend. He doesn't count.
That's fair.
Anyway, he's been retweeting our tweets. He's been sharing all of our information on Facebook and stuff like that.
Sending us videos while drinking water.
Which is I'm going to ask him if we could put those on the Facebook or something like that, because they're pretty hilarious, because he's a sarcastic bastard. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he just started a Twitch channel, and his handle is VPR43210, and that's on Twitch. His name's Andy. Give him a look. That's all I want to do. I wanted to shout out.
Will he wear a shirt this time?
Yeah, whenever he's home, whenever he gets home, his shirt comes off. He's done with clothes. He's like, "This sucks," and then he's half nude all day.
I'm guilty.
But when his kids are home, then he has a shirt on.
Oh,
he's like, "I'm not gonna run around naked with the kids."
I just thought maybe it was because I've only seen him in your.
Andy and I do a lot of talking on Marco Polo. It's a video chat app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On your phone, so we can send messages back and forth, and we've had a lot of laughs because of him. I could do a whole episode describing all the times Andy has pissed me off because of his sarcasm.
Go for it.
No. Matter of fact, his stream just started about 13 minutes ago.
You notice your brother surrounds himself with people who are sarcastic as fuck all the time.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And then I'm mad at them for being sarcastic. I'm like, ugh! Quit being yourself! I hate it!
Yeah. So, hey, always give us a follow on Twitter at GamerDA1. Check us out on the Facebook.
The Facebook, just like it says, gamer discretion advised.
Mm-hmm.
Do something.
Give us a shout out on our email as well.
Just start a fight in the comments. We'll watch.
podcast@gamerda.com.
Gentlemen. Email us. Please email us. Yeah.
Give us anything.
Lonely.
Yeah. Forrest is still lonely.
He'll always be lonely.
Do, 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 do.
Do, 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 do. He'll travel from town to town. Do, do, do. So.
Trying to find a way to cure the raging beast that dwells within him. Dun, dun, dun.
He's going to legally change his name to Bill Bigsby.
Do you ever think that, like, maybe, like, he ever heard the piano music as he walked down the road?
No.
Why was it always so sad? How come he was never like... Never gonna give you, you know, never anything uplifting.
Did you ever watch the show? It's 90% disco music in the background. Oh, there was so much disco in that show.
It was right in that funky time where disco was dying.
Yeah, it started in 1979. So,
what was that joke from the movie Detroit Rock City? It's like, right, like Kiss will never do a disco
album. Yeah, Kiss would never do a disco album. You never know. I was just thinking about that not too long ago. Oh, man. Thanks for listening, guys.
Peace out.